You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. My name is Grant Bagby, the host of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. In this episode, you'll actually be listening to a new contributor to Torn by Sports, Zachary Rodery, who will be interviewing Zach Hicken from Rivals. Enjoy as they talk some BYU hoops.
At this point in time, what do you think the mindset of the team is right now after beating the Zags in Spokane and dropping one at Portland? Guys beat LMU at their place and drop one at Pepperdine. What's the mindset going forward?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I just wrapped up practice. I was actually there, and that was actually a question that was asked by some media members. They said that they're still focused and determined. They know that there's nothing that they can do to go back and change what they did in the Portland game or in the Pepperdine game because it's behind them. But they have the opportunity this week. They're going to be playing LMU on Thursday and Pepperdine again on Saturday. So they can get a quick bounce back win at home where they've actually performed really well this season. I don't think they haven't lost a game at home this season. So that's a great opportunity for them. They said that they learned a lot from this. Chase Fisher, actually, he said that he learned a lot just going back and watching film to see what they can do better for the coming game and what adjustments that they can make so that way they can get two wins this week.
Right. So looking at their remaining schedule right now, it looks like they got kind of the toughies out of the way as far as the road concerns, But it looks like they got they played the Zags and the Gales one more time at home each. And then what do you put their chances at for winning the conference at this point in the season?
So from my understanding, I'm actually just pulling up the schedule right now. They play seven more games at home, three away, with one of those away games being at San Diego, who is 1-7 in the league. Then they're going to go out and play San Francisco and I believe Santa Clara. Those are two teams that, they should be able to beat on the road. Actually just looking at the schedule the other day, and they're, to kind of break it down a little bit for what's remaining ahead of them, in my opinion, there are four games that they're going to win, that they shouldn't lose because they're at home against bad teams. And there's a couple toss-ups. There's two or three toss-ups, and then there's three games that they definitely could lose. They have St. Mary's next Thursday. And the thing with St. Mary's is they, for their first 12 or 13 games of the season, they didn't leave the Bay Area. They went on the road once or twice, and I think they played at like Stanford and Cal or something like that. So as soon as they left the Bay Area, they lost to Pepperdine. Granted, Pepperdine's undefeated at home. They're 8-0. But I like BYU's chances at home. They seem to shoot the ball a lot better. They get back in that routine where they're comfortable. They're to a schedule that they are used to on a daily basis, and they don't have to deal with what comes with traveling, the weariness that you get.
Right.
So, to kind of answer your question, I could see them finishing somewhere. This BYU team is kind of hard. Anywhere between 6-4 and 9-1 is very realistic for this team, just depending on how they perform.
Real quick note on St. Mary's while I have it. It seems a trend with them, especially early on in the season, to stay close to home, play a kind of a cake schedule before they dive into conference play. So strength of schedule wise, that could really come back to hurt them. BYU and Gonzaga, as far as the top of the conference is concerned, it seems like they loaded up non-conference a little bit more. So if it happened to come down to it, I feel like there would be an edge to that. But So you're thinking a second place finish then for that would be best case scenario for the Cougs?
Yeah, I think that's best case scenario. I just don't see them getting that number one spot. I mean, we're halfway through the league schedule about, and St. Mary's is sitting up top of the league at 8-1, and BYU's down in fourth place at 5-3 right now behind Pepperdine and Gonzaga. So They definitely have a hill to climb. They're going to need to get some help from some other teams if they want a chance at a regular league title. And I guess the thing that's kind of frustrating about it for this team is that they had it in the driver's seat. They had an opportunity they were in the driver's seat and they could have controlled the rest of the season. It was all up to them. And then they dropped the next game at Portland, who had lost four straight games when BYU went into their gym.
Right. You know, it's almost like it's expected. It's just a trend every year to see St. Mary Gonzaga and BYU at the top of the conference, Pepperdine, with the exception this year, at 6-3, sitting in third. But a whole lot can change between now and the end. Given the scenario, the schedule remaining, and what each team has in store, you know, St. Mary's, BYU kind of rely a lot on the three ball. You know, just some of the X factors, Zags, Karnowski's out for the season, that kind of thing. What's the state of the WCC in your mind as far as March concerns? And, you know, going into March, you know, how many teams could we see come out of this conference?
Well, since BYU's joined the league, I think the most that they've ever had was three, which I think was either the first or second year that BYU was in the league, where Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and BYU all got bids to the NCAA tournament. But most years, you only see two. And to be honest, this year, the league as a whole is down. You typically have Gonzaga, who is a top-10 team. And before Karnowski got injured, they definitely had the opportunity to make a case for them to be a top-10 team. And once they lost him, you know, they haven't been playing as well. But I would say this year, probably a max of two teams are going to go from the WCC. Most likely it's going to be St. Mary's and Gonzaga.
Okay. You see an NIT berth for BYU at this point?
Yeah, at this point. I mean, there definitely is an opportunity for them to close out this season. I think the magic number for them this season is 26 wins. They're sitting at 14 right now. They have 10 regular season games remaining. So basically for them to get an NCAA berth, they're going to win out the rest of the regular season and then win their first two WCC games, which it's possible. Coach Rose does have a history of strong finishes with his team, and this team, especially in the WCC, they've been able to finish well, but it's just this team has been a little less predictable because of the youth and the lack of senior leadership. They have three seniors who start, but there's just Nate Austin didn't even play last year, so it's just kind of hard when you don't have that experience that you need to close out a season strong.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the – I have a note here that I wrote. This is a really young team. You got seven freshmen, five sophomores. So a lot of youth coming up. What do you foresee this team looking like when guys like Collinsworth, Austin, and Fisher are all gone?
Man, it's kind of interesting. So you'll lose four players. I think this isn't anything that I've heard from. This isn't like, you know, I don't have birds telling me this in my ear. I'm chirping in my ear. But I think that there are a few players that are going to be leaving the program because of the talent that's coming in. They're going to have more freshmen that are going to be replacing the seniors in the program. You have TJ Hawes, Dashdrup, and then Eric Mika, who are all coming back and all very talented. You're going to have two freshmen and sophomore coming back who are going to be getting significant minutes. So while they lose the senior leadership, it's very possible that they do get better because of the talent coming in. And you're going to have Elijah Bryant. He's going to be eligible. And every time I've gone to practice, He seems to be a Collinsworth junior. He has his strengths. He can shoot better from the outside than Collinsworth, in my opinion, which that makes him a little more versatile, but he's probably not as athletic, can't slash in the paint, and probably, I mean, it's hard to, as a guard, to go and get rebounds better than Kyle Collinsworth does.
Yeah. And I just kind of have an upfront point for you to make here is, at this point, are there times during the season or in specific spots in the game, whether the Cougs are down or up, are there certain scenarios where you feel the Cougs are, in a sense, held hostage to Collinsworth's style of play?
It's kind of difficult to say. I mean, when it comes down to the end of the game, we asked this question on ESPN 960, who do you want to have taking that last shot? A lot of people said that they'd want to have Collinsworth with the ball in his hands, but maybe dishing out to a player like Zach Selius or Chase Fisher or Nick Emery, because they can hit it from the outside. I just feel some of the problem that Collinsworth gets into sometimes is that he tries to do too much. He wants to be the leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading assist guy. And one thing that I saw out of a change out of him this last week was that this was against LMU, he was focusing on getting his rebounds and passing the ball. And he actually had one of the better first halves, in my opinion, as a whole, because he was passing the ball and finding his guys that were open, and he was crashing the boards. He didn't even get his first points of the game until there was about 45 seconds left in the first half. Mm-hmm. And so when he's focusing on what he does best, which I asked him today, what he considers to be the best part of his game, and he said it's rebounding, because he feels that when he goes and crashes on the boards for offensive rebounds and he's fighting for defensive rebounds, he feels that he plays more aggressive as a whole, and that kind of just helps the whole team when he plays like that.
Right. I mean, to his credit, he's arguably the best player in the country. I mean, probably the top echelon. If there was a top five list, obviously you got to put like Buddy Hield and guys like that on it. But I mean, he's a triple double machine. Does a lot of things that help his team win. I'm just, with that aside, knowing his strengths, it just seems like his style of play can kind of hinder other guys from getting the rock and get going. But at this point, does he have to play well for the team to win?
I think so, definitely. But he needs a running mate to help him do that. Early in the season, you got a lot of inconsistent play out of Chase Fisher, and he would have games where he'd go off for 25-plus, and then the next night he wouldn't show up. And that's kind of where this team struggled early on in the season, in my opinion, is they had a reliable scorer in Tyler Haws for 3 years, where you knew no matter what he was going to do, he was going to find some way to get 20-plus points.
Mm-hmm.
And you just knew that they were going to be there. And so with Collinsworth, if he's late in the game, he's driving into the paint and he needs to dish out. Last year it would have been Tyler Haws that he hit. This year you really don't know who he can rely on. It's whoever's really hot that game, or whoever's really open, because there's not that one guy that they can depend on.
Yeah. All right, Zach, I got this last segment I want to do with you. Get you out of here on this. It's a format where what's new to this year in college basketball, as you know, the 30-second shot clock. So I got a 30-second shot clock of questions, and the goal is to get through all of them. I'm not going to tell you how many there are, because that would not make it as fun.
Okay.
But it's a quick question. You say your answer, and we'll move on. Get through as many as we can. You ready?
Yep.
All right.
Let's do it.
30 seconds. Cue the music. Collinsworth or Jimmer on one-on-one?
Jimmer.
Will Dave Rose be BYU's coach in 5 years?
Yes.
who will win the WCC this year?
Gonzaga.
How many WCC teams go to the tourney?
Two.
If the student body had a vote, would they say BYU was a football or a basketball school?
Football, definitely.
Scenario, BYU down three with 15 seconds left. Give to Fisher for a three or a quick two for one with Kyle?
Fisher for a three.
Over or under, Collinsworth plays two seasons in the NBA.
Under.
Gordon Hayward will be with the Jazz for life.
No, I don't think so.
The Warriors repeat.
Yes.
Trump represents the GOP.
I sure hope not, no.
Zach, it's been awesome. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks.
All right. We'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye. You too.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.